Hello, welcome back to more Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona. I thank you for joining me here on this radio station. If you're listening to me, I'm WMCH, 1260 AM radio. Again, welcome. You can find me at this station Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. That's my time slot. Or you may be listening to these teachings sitting in the waiting room of the Wash and Word. That's our business. It's a hand car wash located in Church Hill in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11W. And if you're sitting in the waiting room right now, I pray these messages will bless you. We're probably working on your car right now, or maybe you're waiting for your car to get done. And just sit back and see if God just speaks to you through His Word. If you are aware of our ministry, you know that we do teach verse by verse, and we do it because we believe the whole counsel of God's Word is not only important, but extremely vital in this war that we are in daily as Christians. And as Christians, we fight a spiritual war, whether we see it or not, whether we recognize it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not. There is a spiritual war taking place at all times, and we must prepare ourselves for battle. And that is what the Word of God does. We exist as a business for the sole purpose of getting God's Word out into the public ear in a way that is a little different. We get it. We know this is a little odd. We know it's a little different, and I'm okay with that. Status quo never changed anything. And we're looking forward to see how God is going to increase this vision and do even more through His Word. So join me as we begin, or get back into, I should say, the book of 1 John. You can join me on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road. That's when I do the live verse-by-verse Bible teaching, as well as the radio program. Oh, one more thing. If you're ever in the parking lot, any time of the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, tune to 107.1 FM. We have a small radio transmitter that broadcasts just here in the parking lot area of the Wash and Word, and we play these messages on a loop. So no matter what time of day it is, if you need to hear a word from the Lord, come on by the parking lot, tune to 107.1 FM, see if God has something for you. So we're getting back into 1 John. We read verses 5 through 10 a couple of messages ago, and we're continuing to elaborate upon those verses, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And our last teaching, we talked about the properties of light, how light reveals, light measures, light also energizes. We also looked at John's other writing, the Gospel of John, and in six verses, he mentions the word light seven different times. So we know that this is a focus of John, that getting the concept of light having come into the world through Jesus Christ was so important to him, because he knows that it's the one thing that's going to expose false doctrine. And if you've been with us for the last couple of messages, you know we've talked extensively how false doctrine is an enemy, rather a weapon the enemy uses. And he uses it because of how powerful it is, and not only that, but what it leads to. You see, false doctrine leads to bad thinking. Bad thinking leads to bad living. Bad living leads to sin, but it doesn't stop there. Sin, when acted out, ultimately leads to death. And that is the ultimate goal of our enemy: death, destruction, desolation. And so that, John says, I'm not gonna go spending a whole lot of time talking about bad living or talking about bad thinking or even talking about sin. Like, he's going to the source. So if he could get this concept of light into our minds and into the world, he's already battling the fire, so to speak, at the source. And that's where we pick it up here in our teaching. So even though we are Christians, those of us who are, we still suffer with a sin-filled nature. That is our flesh. Even after salvation, every one of us, and if we deny, he says a couple of times in the writings, in the five verses we read recently, that we lie. If we say there's no sin in us, we lie. If we say we are not struggling with our flesh, we have no fellowship with God. And so let's just come to grips with the fact that we have to battle this sinful, fallen nature, even post-salvation, which is another reason why it's so important that we teach, preach, and obey the entirety of God's Word, not just pick and choose sections and small parts of it. And I use that analogy of having a magnet as you put a big giant magnet over your junk drawer in your kitchen, that only metal things will draw up to the magnet. And so the magnet of wickedness, in our metaphoric analogy here, doesn't draw us like it used to. See, the devil has his own magnet, and he holds his magnet over the earth in a figurative way. And those who do not have the Spirit of God in them, who have not been regenerated and reborn through light, they are subject to that magnet. And they are powerless against it. You see, without the Holy Spirit of God, the human nature does what the human nature feels like doing. And so people without the Spirit, without Jesus, are powerless against the enemy's attacks. And that is why we have to, even as Christians, we got to be careful, because the flesh still remains. So if we allow any part of our life to inhibit darkness, that part of our life will get sucked up into that magnet. I hope that all made sense as an analogy. I like when the scripture, when Satan appears before God in the book of Job, and God says to him, "Where have you been?" And Satan says, "To and fro," I'm paraphrasing, "just been kind of wandering around with my magnet, seeing who I can pick up." You know, before we were the junk that was in that junk drawer, and when we were just junk, all Satan had to do was hold up his proverbial sin magnet over us, and whew, up we would go. We would just simply react naturally to the sinful nature. But now, as Christians, we are being purified daily. We are growing in our grace and our knowledge of Him. We are dying to ourselves, and we are walking in the light. Does this mean we don't sin anymore? Of course it doesn't mean that. We do still sin. And we are always going to have some metal that is flesh in us. But John deals with that in verse 9. I'll reread it, because it's been a couple of teachings now since we reread these. But verse 9 says, and it's one of my favorite verses, one of the first ones I ever memorized, "If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins." And, doesn't stop there, "purify us from all unrighteousness." And this is what separated Jesus from us. We had sin that separated us, but even as Christians, we still sin, and there's still penalty for that sin. Not the penalty of death that there once was, but it's the penalty of severed relationship, severed fellowship. But God says, look, you don't have to live that way. It doesn't have to stay that way. If you mess up, if you sin, fix it right away. If you fall off the boat into shark-infested waters, are you going to swim around and frolic and then eventually get back on the boat? No, you jump back in the boat as quick as you possibly can. And when you fail and you sin and your flesh overtakes your spirit even for a moment, stop, repent, confess, and God restores. And this leads us to the problem that John was dealing with in that century. And that, again, was Gnosticism. And if you remember, we said that Gnosticism is the separation of living things from non-living things. And their belief was that there's no way God could become flesh, because God is spirit. God is a spiritual being. We are fleshly beings. And so that the difference between the two, well, we'll use it as, let's say they had no conscience for sin. Like they were saying that because we are fleshly in nature, we sin, and that's just the way it is. And this is what separated Jesus from us. So Jesus was divine. He was God, and he did indeed become flesh. But listen, it wasn't flesh entering flesh. He didn't enter flesh. He became flesh. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh. And the difference is huge because it destroys the Gnostic thinking. Jesus didn't find a body and then enter it, which, by the way, in the book of Revelation is exactly what the Antichrist will do. You see, the Antichrist could never become something else. He will find a body and enter it. He will enter flesh, but he will never become flesh. He is not a creator. But getting back to Jesus, he didn't find a body and enter it. He became flesh. And I say all this to set up and back up the claim that God had entered time and space, and John says, we beheld him. And this is to say that one of the grandest of all truths and privileges is the ability now to have human intimate fellowship with a holy spiritual God, which is a complete combatant to that form of Gnostic thinking. Now, to transpose all this into the world today, the church, whether you believe it or not, has a problem. You see, the majority of Christians don't want to know too much. They're okay with their routine and their tradition. And if this walk or this knowledge involves too much thinking or too much learning or too much controversy or, here's the big one, too much change in their lives, most Christians don't want any part of it. So now you're beginning to see why the topical, fluffy, cherry-picked, shallow messages not only permeate the mainstream churches today, but they also draw the largest congregations. But those of us who continue to meet in the true churches, who continue to open and obey the whole counsel of God's word, who are welcoming the challenge of rethinking things in our lives, who welcome the challenge of being challenged by the word of God, being corrected by the word of God, and the most importantly, are willing to respond to the word of God, well, these are the churches that are going to be left to, we're going to be the remnant left in the world when all of the false teaching and the shallow doctrine begins to crumble around us. I once heard it said, if Christianity became illegal tomorrow, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Interesting thought to ponder. In fact, let's go with that for a little while, because in the five verses we read a couple of messages ago, there are three statements that kind of relate to this question, if Christianity was illegal today, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And in these verses, there are three false statements, and then the evidence of them, or rather against them, to convict you. And so statement number one is found in verses 6 and 7. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in light, as he is light, we have fellowship. So the first false statement is, if we claim. So how do you know if you're, or if you would be an illegal Christian, if Christianity became illegal tomorrow? Ask yourself this question. Is there habitual sin in my life? And if the answer is yes, well, then you probably won't be convicted of being a Christian. If the evil forces that be, that are out there, were to get a good look into the innermost parts of your life, you would not be convicted of being a Christian. That is what habitual sin looks like. It acquits you of being convicted of being a Christian should Christianity become illegal. And that's where I'm going to stop today. We're going to pick that back up again because this is pretty heavy stuff that we need to look at. Because most of us are walking around with lives that we think we're good, we think we're okay, yet we might be as far from God as we possibly can be. Join me again tomorrow. We'll do this again. It's so much fun, isn't it? God's Word beating us up and knocking us around. If you want to hear it live, come to Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday nights at 6 p.m., 415 Old Union Road. Go to the website to download and listen to any of our old archive messages. That's washandword.com. And remember, 107.1 FM in the parking lot, 24/7. Have a blessed day.